It's time for Operation Freedom with your host, Dr. Dave Janda, on Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse, Wham Talk 1600.
Welcome back to Operation Freedom, folks. I'm Dr. Dave Janda, broadcasting from an ancillary bunker linked to Wham Talk 1600's main Freedom Bunker in the People's Republic of Ann Arbor. We are all indebted to my wingman, Derek Stone, for being able to put this off. For those of you that were present for the beginning of the show, the deep state took a whack at us. They tried to shut us down just a couple minutes after 2 o'clock and did everything in their power to shut down this broadcast, which is a live broadcast, from occurring. Due to the brilliance of Derek and all of his abilities, we got the show back up and we were able to fire ahead. Needless to say, the deep state is centered on censorship. They want to block information that will empower you, information that will enhance your freedoms and liberties. This is why we are constantly a target of the deep state. This happened about a month ago. They took a whack at us a little over a month ago on the live broadcast, and they did it again today. The issue that started off this ruckus a little after 2 o'clock was when I was speaking about your financial freedom. And when I was speaking about the benevolent organization, the Federal Reserve. My next guest is someone who has done everything in his power over a number of decades' time to enhance your financial freedom by speaking the truth about the deep state, their tentacle, the Federal Reserve, about how the deep state manipulates financial markets and how to protect yourself. Bill Holter, after a lengthy career in financial services, retired in 2006, moved his family out of the United States. Quite good timing. He then returned in 2011, currently makes his home in the great state of Texas. He joined Miles Franklin as an associate writer in 2012 and posted commentaries until early 2015 on that site. He is now working in collaboration with the iconic Jim Sinclair in helping and educate and enlighten folks through Jim's site, JS Mindset, M-I-N-E-S-E-T, jsmindset.com. Bottom line, folks, Bill Holter is one of the best forensic economic analysts in the world. Bill, welcome back to Operation Freedom.
Thanks for having me again, Dave.
Well, Bill, let's see how long we go before they try to take a shot again. Bill, in the first half hour of this show, I spoke about the tentacle of the deep state, the Federal Reserve, about their how they were founded and were formed, if you will, in 1913, and the devastating effect they have had on every American since their forming in 1913. There are some folks, through feedback I've already gotten, that were very upset with my characterization of this, quote, benevolent group of bankers who are looking out for the best interests of every American, end quote. Bill, are they benevolent, independent bankers that are looking out for the best interests of every American?
Well, first, they're not federal. It is private. It's privately owned. And I would suggest all your listeners read the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. It was written by, G. Edward Griffin. Talks about how it was formed, and really what the long-term goal. And, you know, we're, 107 years past their forming. And really the idea was to get the country indebted and then basically pull the plug. And that's pretty much where we are now.
And in addition, you're right, G. Edward Griffin, he's been a great guest on our show before on a number of occasions. The Creature from Jekyll Island, right on target, dissects the Federal Reserve. And also there was a previous work done by, I believe, a Eustace Mullins, who did groundbreaking work about the origins of the Federal Reserve and the deep state syndicate. This past week, the Federal Reserve, Bill, had a meeting. And when it was all said and done, this two-day meeting that they have every other month or so, or every month or every other month, depending on the time of the year, they said the following. Now, many people believe, hey, the economy, you know, you look in the stock market, it's been doing fine. Everything that bounced off the lows back in March, things are okay. Things are looking good. At the end of this meeting, the Federal Reserve signaled rates will be unchanged, interest rates, through at least 2023. Well, Bill, if everything is fine, why would they be holding rates steady and still and very, very low until 2023?
Well, first off, by announcing that, it's basically jawboning. It's basically telling investors, you know, we're not going to raise rates. We've got your back. And you mentioned the stock market, you know, bounced back. Of course, the stock market bounced back with $3 trillion pumped into the system by the Fed. I think another close to $3 trillion from the Treasury. And what you're looking at now is the markets have stalled and look like they're starting to roll over because that liquidity is now drying up. That's already been used. It's like a bullet that's already been fired. You know, you can't refire the same bullet. The real economy, the dichotomy between the markets and the real economy have never, ever even approached these levels. And basically what the Fed was telling you is we're not going to raise interest rates. What they left out is because they can't raise interest rates.
Mm-hmm. Because if they did, well,
they would smoke the credit markets.
That's right. This credit markets would implode.
Right.
They also said, Bill, that they were going to continue at least $120 billion in monthly quantitative easing to support
the $1.5 trillion per year.
$120 billion in monthly.
Yeah, but it's $1.5 trillion per year.
Right.
That's in a year's time, they're going to add another $1.5 trillion into the system.
So many people contacted me after the Fed released what they were doing, holding rates steady till 2023. As you said, you know, $120 billion per month, $1.5 trillion in the next year, at least. That's at least, they said, at least. And they said, you know, gold and silver should have skyrocketed on that news. And instead, well, they got beat up, but they ended up kind of flat. Well, here we go again, Bill. Every time one of these announcements are made that would be a booster rocket against precious metals, it appears the algos and the manipulation tends to kick right in.
Right. They're capping the price using derivatives, using COMEX futures, et cetera. And, I mean, they've done this really since Robert Rubin's strong dollar policy back in 1996. I just talked about this the other day on an interview. 1987, when the market crashed, the real scary day was the next day because they couldn't get markets open. And what happened was, I think the number was $6 million, not billion, but $6 million what went into the value line futures, and that turned those futures, and then, of course, the market started to open, and confidence started coming back that it wasn't going to be another meltdown the second day. The point being, they basically learned that they could control markets with very little money by using futures, and that's what they've done since 1988 when under Reagan, they created the President's Working Group on Financial Markets, also known as the Plunge Protection Team. So, I mean, that's how it's done. It's done with futures. It's done not with a lot of money because you're talking about 100-to-1 leverage. And basically, with gold and silver, they sell paper contracts that have no gold or no silver behind them. It's not a sale of gold. It's not a sale of silver. It's a sale of paper. And that's what has capped the price.
So now let's speak about, as opposed to the paper market, which is algo-driven, manipulation-driven, let's talk about the physical market. As I mentioned in your introduction, Bill, you have been involved in the physical precious metals market for decades, and you have a lot of experience and perspective over those decades on where we are in the physical market. So educate our listeners where we are in not the paper market, which the media tends to jam at us of what's really going on when it's not what's really going on, where the real market is, where the real tell is in the physical market. Where are we in the physical market in gold and silver right now?
Well, demand has been through the roof, and supply, especially in silver, has been tempered because a lot of the mines in Central and South America had either cut back or closed because of COVID. But the big thing is people are waking up now, and the demand has increased dramatically. If you look at the actual delivery amounts on COMEX, and COMEX was never really a delivery exchange. It was just basically a paper exchange. Last month, they had 157 tons stand for delivery. Now, if that 157 tons, that's more than the amount of gold that was delivered from COMEX, I think 2016 through 2019 combined. And there was another month, I guess it was back in April, it was 130 tons. The point being, the demand is beginning to overwhelm supply. And COMEX actually went out and authorized, I think it's something like 80 or 90 additional refineries that are considered acceptable refineries for delivery. So they're definitely feeling the heat that, you know, they don't have the metal that they need to come up with each month or every other month to deliver. And they've, like I said, they've basically doubled or a little bit more than doubled the amount of refiners. They're vacuuming the whole world up as far as trying to get enough gold to make delivery and avoid a default.
And Bill, tell me if I'm wrong, but there's some people that question whether they're actually delivering the physical metal, that what they're doing is that rather than delivering the physical metal to the people who have the contracts on the other side, they're saying, tell you what, we'll give you a bunch of cash and we'll give you some extra cash to not take delivery of the physical, but let's say you took delivery of the physical and we'll just give you that bonus. Some people say that's conspiracy theory, that's not happening. What's your take on that?
Well, that was the speculation for years. And this past year, 2019, all of a sudden, they started shipping contracts off to London. They're called EFPs, Exchange for Physical, mm-hmm. and supposedly being delivered in London, but it's not clear that that's even being done. So there's definitely shenanigans, and when all is said and done, we're going to find out that there's been all kinds of sleight of hand.
Bill, in the first segment today, when the deep state was trying to take us out, I was speaking about Warren Buffett. And in particular, I was speaking about his father, Howard Buffett. And Howard Buffett was on record as speaking about the link between precious metals, gold and silver, and freedom.
Right.
Yet his son, Warren, for years denigrated precious metals. I put forward the quote, something he said in 1998, when he was giving a speech at Harvard, quote, gold gets and silver get dug out of the ground in Africa or someplace. Then we melt it down, dig another hole, bury it again, and pay people to stand around guarding it. It has no utility. Anyone watching from Mars would be scratching their head, end quote. Well, then it came out within the past month or so that Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway, of which he's one of the directors of, started buying shares in a gold miner by the name of Barrick. Your take on that development?
Well, it would have been really difficult. Well, first off, if you go to our website, JS Mindset, we've had on top, the very top quote is Howard Buffett's quote that you're referring to. We've had it up there for 4 or 5 months now. I think the reason he's doing this through a miner, and I think we'll probably find out it's going to be more than just one miner, is that it optically would look pretty bad if he stepped up and was actually buying physical bullion. And an advantage to buying a miner as opposed to the metal itself is, as long as the system holds together, the mining companies actually have operating leverage. So as the price goes higher, typically, or higher or lower, as the price of gold moves, typically miners move 2.5 to 3 times as much as the price of gold. So if he took $500 million and put it into Barrick, that's the equivalent of, call it $1.5 billion in actual metal as far as what's going to happen to the volatility. So there is leverage involved, and I think that's the reason he did it.
And it's interesting, Bill, because he did it, a number of people in the financial world, it perked their ears up, and they started to say, oh, well, you know, Buffett's an insider's insider. If he's doing it, well, maybe we should start to do it. Yet, for several decades, Jim St. Clair, you have been telling people how to protect themselves with precious metals and was coming down the road, yet they didn't act upon your foresight. Yet this guy makes one move and, oh, maybe we should do that. Beyond frustrating.
Well, and he's doing it now at $2,000 an ounce, and we were suggesting it at $300 an ounce.
Right.
That's basically an 85% drop in value of the dollar since the year 2000.
And if you go back to the inception of that benevolent group of bankers, the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has plummeted how much, Bill?
99%. from $20 an ounce, from $20 and $67 an ounce to the current price of 1950. It's basically 99%.
You know, Bill, at one point, tell me if I'm wrong, Warren Buffett had amassed a pretty big position in physical silver. Is that accurate?
Yes, I think it was. I think that goes all the way back to 1997. I think he had purchased 130 million ounces. And it's my guess that he got tapped on the shoulder and was told to liquidate it.
Right, and it was about the same time he had run into some troubles with some of his investments in the banking community, correct?
Correct, yes, absolutely, yep.
So he runs into
I think that was the tap on his shoulder.
Right, so he runs into some shenanigans with some of the investments he was in, and some people that ran into those problems potentially would have gone to jail. As you mentioned, he got a tap on the shoulder, right? He liquidated his physical holdings in silver and, well, he became the Oracle of Omaha.
Right, and did not go to jail.
Interesting. So, Bill, when you look in your crystal ball as it relates to the precious metals markets, many people are saying, well, wait, gee, in July, gold and silver just boom. They've been moving up, but they just shot up. And, well, you know, we thought, whoa, I mean, gold went, its old high for 11 years was, I think, 1920, got over 1920, was up into the higher 2000 and so almost 2100. And Well, now it's pulled back and it's just been kind of in a holding pattern, as has silver. I mean, silver was down, you know, 14, actually, when they whacked it in March, down into 12, I think into 11s.
1180, yeah.
Now it's 27, something. It's been hanging there around 27. Many people are saying, well, you know, it had its run, both of them. And, well, they're just going to back them back down again. I don't believe that's the case, but you're the pro. What's your take on this?
Well, I think this, they had the opportunity to smash silver back down to $20 or under $20. They had the opportunity to smash gold back into the 1600s, 1700s. I think gold, for maybe a day traded under $1,900 and silver never got under 24. And you can see, and that only lasted for a day and it popped back up into the 26 level. My point being, this correction has been very shallow, and any of these, paper smashes that we're, you know, accustomed to seeing are very, very short lived. And I mean, I'm looking at charts and I'm thinking, you've got the MACD, that's the moving average convergence beginning to hook and look like it's going to cross over, could be this week, to the upside. I think we're right on the cusp of another leg up in both gold and silver.
Bill, what's, in your experience over the years, decades, what's the biggest mistake people make when it comes to gold and silver and utilizing them as, if you will, an insurance policy against a financial system that is quaking?
The biggest mistake is the perception that, first off, you're going to buy gold and silver to make money as opposed to an insurance policy. And the second mistake is when gold and silver move up, if it's an insurance policy, would you really cancel your homeowner's insurance if there was a hurricane or wildfire or whatever on the way? No, you wouldn't cancel it. And the problem is, if you sell your gold or sell your silver, what are you going to get for it? You're going to get dollars, or you're going to get euros, or you're going to get yen or whatever. You're jumping back into the system. By owning gold and silver, you're out of the system. By selling them and taking your profit, you're jumping right back into the frying pan.
So, Bill, educate our listeners on the efforts that you and Jim have undertaken, the website JS Mindset, jsmindset.com.
Basically, we've been trying to get people to be of the mindset to be as self-sufficient as you can, get as many of your assets out of the system where there's no intermediary between you and your capital. For instance, if you own stock, what you want to do is you want to have that stock either sent to the transfer agent, and that's called direct registration, or have it sent to the transfer agent and have them send you a certificate. In other words, if your broker goes out of business and you've got an account with the broker, it's going to take you 3 years, 5 years, maybe longer to get your shares back because they're an intermediary between you and your money. Whereas if it's directly registered or you have the shares in hand, you have the ability to move that.
Bill, I'd like to thank you for everything you and your partner Jim Sinclair has done, are doing, and will do. You are truly freedom fighters, and freedom fighters for every American and every person of this world's financial freedom. And I thank you for having the courage to do so, because you have been targeted by the deep state in your stand. Folks, you're listening to Operation Freedom. Dr. Dave Janda broadcasting from our ancillary bunker with links to our main freedom bunker at WAM Talk 1600 in the People's Republic of Ann Arbor, Michigan.